Americans have a growing appetite for cheap shrimp, but our taste for the shellfish and the market's refusal to pay higher prices can come with a cost. Today, roughly 90% of shrimp eaten by Americans is imported, often from places with a history of human rights violations. A new investigation is shining light on the dark side of frozen shrimp found on the shelves of major grocery stores in New Jersey and around the country. Tonight, NJ Spotlight News is continuing our coverage on the work of the Outlaw Ocean Project. It investigates the seafood industry and published new reporting last month focused on the company Choice Canning. Choice Canning has denied the allegations of human rights abuses and lying about shipping shrimp raised with antibiotics. Lawyers for the company sent two detailed responses to the Outlaw Ocean Project, denying any wrongdoing in India or the U.S.
Yeah, Daryl and Morgan, you caught us at a good time because the crawfish is about to go in the pot. There you have it in all the yummy seasoning. Again,
absolutely.
And then the big message this season is if you want crawfish, come get it ASAP because y'all are still dealing with the drought that we experienced earlier this year.
Hey, today I'm just going to do a quick little video of how you can pump some ghost shrimp off the beach. This is one of the best baits for surf fishing. All you gotta have is a ghost shrimp pump. I'll post the link up here. Y'all can go watch a video of how.
What I needed. Brooke must have asked me 20 times to go shrimping last night, and I was tired. And I kept saying, no, no, I don't want to go. I was being a big baby. So today I took a little nap, and now I'm ready to go.
We have about like a 10-minute ride till we get to Hillsborough Inlet, where we want to be, where the water's flowing through, and that's where hopefully the shrimp are flowing through. Let's see if we can catch some shrimp.
You're a small one, cleaner shrimp. You really floss that eel. You're as cuddly as an otter. You're so cute you make me squeal. Cleaner shrimp. You're as calming as hot tea with lemon and chamomile. You're a cannibal skeleton shrimp. You chow down on your mate. You have all of the decorum of a pugilistic reprobate skeleton shrimp.
We're back with my Uncle Gary.
It's a drop.
Enter the shrimp bar.
Your transistor radio. Take it to the head, you see she got rosy colors flashing astro pop red.
Sings it every week. Jason Eastwood's Calculator Watch, coming to you live on tape from Gary's Closet, Manitoba. Welcome to shrimpfarm.crypto.
I'm Jason Eastwood.
I'm Electric John.
We are loving today because we've experienced the vortex. We've seen the sun go down and change everything, haven't we, John? We just witnessed an eclipse.
No, we didn't witness an eclipse. I witnessed nothing. I went to work and it's the same as it was in the morning.
Well, if I looked in the clouds today, I could see a little bit of a ring. And it reminded me of 1979. Do you remember that one when it went dark?
That was a real eclipse. That was a total eclipse of the sun. Today, nothing happened. Today, I went to work, and when I finished work, nothing. What do you got time all day to lie in the grass and wait to look through the clouds?
I actually was very upset today that I forgot the eclipse was on, because this is the one day of year you can run around with a welding mask on and fit in, and no one says anything.
I don't like doing these topical shows. I just like doing our well. Like our,
this is about a welding.
We're in a tunnel, right? We live in our own environment here.
Yeah, where I wear a welding mask every day. But I mean, I could have fit in if I would have gone outside today. Anyway, back to the show.
Wait a second. Before we get back to the show, I just want to say this. First of all, this is going to sound ironic, but I don't even think this is such a non-event. It's not even worth talking about.
What are you talking about?
The fake eclipse that never happened.
Well, we're not talking about it.
Not anymore. We got a great show lined up for you. We got a beat of the week. I'm looking forward to it. I worked on it hard all weekend. Jason just sprung an air leak over there, and Mike, too.
It's a total eclipse of the eclipse.
Yes, it's an eclipse of the clips, you know?
It's an eclipse of that idea of the eclipse. It's been overshadowed by, we've eclipsed it with our shrimpfarm.crypto show.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I wasn't even thinking about that thing because we've been programmed for weeks to get ready for this non-event, which never actually did anything.
I bought a little ring light. I plug into my computer to film myself with my iPhone, and that's kind of like an eclipse I see every day.
I don't want to. We should stop saying that word on this show.
I'm not saying welding mask anymore.
Look, we're talking about
no more about the
E word. The E word.
We're not going to say the E word anymore. We're going to get to some music, aren't
we? That's right. But now we're going to get some music, and it's very exciting. And we're going to do a back-to-back double shot because, you know, it's good. We've heard some of these songs earlier in the show, but we're going to play two right now from the brand-new record released on Friday. It's the new Libertines, All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade. And we're going to listen to Be Young and Baron's Claw because I think this record's going to make a lot of noise this year, right here.
Wait a second. That's a foreshadowing of the Boomer Barry this week, the Claw. And you didn't even know. He just sent me the topic.
What are you talking about?
The Boomer Barry this week was just sent to me via telephone, texts, and he sent this. It says The Claw. That's what it's called.
Well, you remember Baron von Raschke had The Claw.
Of course. He was one of my favorite.
And Fritz von Erich and the von Erichs, of course, in Texas.
I met him.
So, yeah, let's do it. This is Be Young and Baron's Claw by the Libertines right here on shrimpfarm.crypto.
Yesterday, we tried to do our ministry, got kicked right off the stage. To rise up in the face of a whole human disgrace. What a soul's out on the soil, boiling up in oil. Is anybody out there? Does anybody care? It's the hell in a handcuff. We'll meet you there. Stand up or shut up. Rise up or give up. Get up, stand up. Coming out tonight.
Children cried with joy at as they ran along side. Big black car sped by, steered by the baron's claw. Next time I saw the baron's claw dripping through the grocer's door. He saved the family from the fire's roar. Baron's claw. It's a skin melted on the street. The baron swayed on his feet and held them off the claw. Those said, children cried. He walked alongside as the car went by, carrying the baron's clothes. Stories never grow old when there's still things to be told. Things to be told.
Claw, and before that, Be Young, brand new Libertines, All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade, released on Friday, April 5th.
That was my Spanish name when I starred in a sitcom, Eastern Esplanade.
Very good.
Yes, I played Enrique.
Yeah, you were good. You were good. I remember that episode where you were fooling everybody. You were disguised as a priest. But you were really the town assassin.
Yes, and then I was somehow written off the show, and that was before I got the part on Gary's Closet. And now I've, of course, had a great career in soap opera.
Incredible. Gary's Closet, of course, is a soap opera we're working on for the show. It's a lot of work. We're putting it together, so it's not going to come out right away. But
well, yeah, I mean, the last 3 years we've been in production, but it's when it comes out,
it's going to be absolutely dynamite.
Wow.
Now, it's April. It's spring. We're all having a nice time.
Yes, it is. It's Easter season. No, he passed that. What are we good for now? April is like April showers.
Bring May flowers. Well, we're good for...
We don't need to do
we don't need to do these topical programs. I mean,
no,
this show...
No,
show
we don't care what month it is. We don't live linearly. Yeah. We don't want to live in a linear reality. And we know that you don't if you're listening to this show right
That's
now.
That's right. You don't want to live in a linear reality.
So whatever time it is, just throw that clock out the window.
So what you want to do is quit your job and buy a vortex.
Yes. Or, you know, wait for the next eclipse and jump through that ring.
There's no eclipse.
Oh, we're not supposed to mention that.
I'm telling you, I'm getting very upset right now.
Stay off the E word, unless it's Eastern Esplanade.
All right, what do you got for us there, East?
Well, I played a show on the weekend at the Pyramid with a band called the French Class. French Class.
Oh, yeah, they were great. Class. I was at that show.
Let's hear some French Class right here on Shrimp Farm. Not crypto.
Bum bum bum. Summer.
currently living in our lovely city, Winnipeg. That was Carlo Capobianco with Call You Sometime. Before that, we heard French Class with Bon Bon Bon.
And both those bands you played with on Saturday night at the Pyramid.
Absolutely. It was a great show. We had a nice turnout. You were there.
Whenever you're playing at the Pyramid, do you ever get concerned about the mummy's curse or anything like that?
Well, sometimes if I stare at the back of the stage long enough, yes, because that thing starts to become three-dimensional. And then, you know, things start to form on the front of your forehead.
And the neon cats. I really like the neon.
I love the neon cat.
The neon. There's two of them, one on each side of the room.
Yes.
The neon cats of the Pyramid.
The Pyramid has been the Pyramid since, what, 1997? Before that, it was Spectrum.
It was a Pyramid up until, it was a Spectrum up until 94, 95.
94, 95.
Somewhere in there.
Still a great room.
And then Dave McKeegan, local punk rock hustler and small concert promoter.
Yes.
He went and...
It hasn't changed. I was first up in that green room in 1990, and it's exactly the same. I love it. The building is still the same.
When I interviewed the Razorbacks...
Oh, I remember that. I was there for that.
We blogged our way into the show.
That was like 1990, right?
So we were from Stylus. All we had was then we had to go get a pencil and a paper bag.
The Razorbacks, too. They were like a country
rockabilly
band.
Rockabilly band. It was hilarious. All we asked them about was Katie Lang and Elvis.
Yeah, that's the first time I was up there. The second time I was up there, Big Sugar played there, and Gordy Johnson gave me a tour of his bus, and then he took me upstairs there.
Oh, fantastic.
Talked guitar a little bit in 1990.
Fantastic. You know what? It's real. Last night I saw a film. I got to talk about it. I think it's movie time.
Oh, yeah.
Get your tickets, get your popcorn, get your eyeballs on. It's movie time with Jason Eastwood and Electric John. Box office, box office, box office, box office gold. We'll tell you which movies are good or not, and you better do what you're told.
Movie time.
It's fucking international.
It certainly is. Thank you, Fionn. Jason, another movie time coming your way.
That's great, because I haven't seen a film since I saw Dune in the theater. Actually, I saw the Bob Marley one, but Dune is way better.
Dune 2.
Dune 2 is called, Double Dune.
Right on. Well, this movie...
Double shot?
The movie I'd like to talk about this week, I first read about in Quentin Tarantino's book, Cinema Speculation, 1977's Rolling Thunder. Now it's on... I think I streamed it on Prime. It looks great on the 65-inch.
And Tommy Lee Jones as a young man, right?
Yeah, but Tommy Lee Jones is a supporting character in it. The main character is played by William Devane, who many people know from Knott's Landing. William Devane.
Yes.
William Devane, it's 1977, but it takes place in 1973. He comes home from Vietnam. He's a war hero. He was captured, right? He was in the Hanoi Hilton, as they call it. He was tortured and captured. He was gone from his family for 8 or 9 years. He comes back, right? And it's beautiful. And the movie was made by a guy called Johnny Flynn, was the director. He went on to direct a movie with
Schwarzenegger?
Stallone. Sylvester Stallone. He made a movie with Sylvester Stallone in 1990 or 89 called Lock Up, and then he did a Seagal movie. This is probably his best movie, Johnny Flynn. But the movie was written by a legend, Hollywood legend, Paul Schrader, who wrote Taxi Driver. And Paul Schrader not only came up with the story, but he co-wrote the script. Haywood Gould was the other script writer, and fantastic script. But the thing about an action movie from the past is done really well. One thing they understand, it's like old wrestling. We always talk about this pacing, right? Like this movie was the polar opposite of, say, a John Wick, where there's so many guns fired, it loses all power, right?
Absolutely.
So this movie, he comes home, he's a Vietnam War, it's very slowly paced, right? And they have a ceremony for him, and they give him 2,500 silver dollars. Okay, this is the early 70s, so that's a good bit of cabbage. Well, I guess a couple fellas were watching it on the television, a couple bad fellas. One of them played by James Best of Dukes of Hazzard fame. He played Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Oh, okay.
James Best was quite an actor. He ran an acting school in Hollywood, and actually Tarantino studied acting under James Best.
I mean, he created one of the most iconic characters of television in the 80s.
Yes. James Best, Tarantino studied acting under James Best in the 80s at his acting school in L.A. And so James Best plays the leader of these real creeps, and they do some bad stuff. And William Devane, he gets his revenge on them. And, you know, it's interesting.
So Devane is a good guy?
Yes.
He's William, always a good guy.
William Devane is a good guy, and Tommy Lee Jones is a good guy, but they're Vietnam vets, and there's an amorality to their ambivalence towards killing people, because that's sort of, you know, they feel eye for an eye. And you know what? And this is such a great movie, and wonderful soundtrack, and really well shot, and I can't recommend it enough. 1977's Rolling Thunder. In fact, right now we're going to listen to the trailer for Rolling Thunder, and we're going to listen to a little bit of music from the film.
He's been away for 8 years. Now he's coming home.
Speaking for myself, I'd like to say that the whole experience has made a better man, a better officer, and a better American out of me. Thank you very much.
But the world has changed.
I've been with another man. You don't remember me, do you?
And he's changed, too.
Pull it up in the air like you're going to take me clear on up to the ceiling.
All right. This.
Now, higher, man. Higher till you hear the bones starting to crack. That's it. Higher! Come on, higher! Higher!
I got to go now.
What do you expect me to do? Just drop everything? What is wrong with you?
You're driving too slow.
It's going to take some time to readjust.
Charlie!
Shut up!
Your husband, he's got a whole bag of silver dollars, and if I don't get him, he's gonna die.
No, don't. Please don't.
I wish you could remember something. A name, a face, an accent, anything.
I can't.
You can't just let it slide, Major. They don't have any right to live.
There's a storm brewing in this man. They took his arm. They took his family. And his soul. His anger is building, and it's going to explode. Now. From Paul Schrader, the author of Taxi Driver, comes a new and shattering film about a man poised on the brink of violence. Rolling Thunder, starring William Devane as Charles Rain. He has a purpose. He has a plan. It's only a matter of time.
I found them.
Who?
The man who killed my son.
I'll just get my gear.
There's the four that came into my home, and there's eight or ten of them.
Let's go clean them up.
Rolling Thunder.
San Anton, it's really good to see you. It's been a while, but you've been on my mind. I've seen your rolling hills and winding rivers, so clear that I could almost make them mine. I can almost see the old Bandero Highway stretching out times we used to walk down by the river. Now it seems like such a long, long time ago. San Antone, it's really good to see you. It's been a while, but you've been on my mind. I've been
get your tickets, get your popcorn, get your eyeballs on. It's movie time with Jason Eastwood and Electric John. Box office, box office, box office, box office gold. We'll tell you which movies are good or not, and you better do what you're told. Movie time.
fucking international.
It but sure is, Fionn. Jason, what'd you think of this week's movie time?
I loved your review of Rolling Thunder, not to be confused with Rolling Thunder Review, 1975 Bob Dylan.
That's true. That's true. Very clever. Very clever. You working with writers this week?
Listen, can you read my notes? That's what I want to know, because you're getting a little off script here.
Oh, all right then. Legible.
Get back into it, okay?
You're legible. You're listening to
back in the show starting now.
You're listening to ShrimpFarm.crypto, the most unique radio program in your entire area. We are the analog relevance within the digital resonance, and you're tuned in to CKUW on 95.9 FM on your dial.
That was so dialed in.
Yeah, we've been doing this show for 14 months.
Well, if you count the year we did in 1989 to 92, it's 24.
That was
months?
The noontime. 26 months. That was the noontime blues. It doesn't it's a different show. This is a way different show.
It wasn't called Shrimp Farm, right?
It was the noontime blues.
Yes,
but it was as
was our show actually on at noon?
Yeah, it was silly. It was a silly program. It was on Thursdays afternoons at some point.
Yeah,
and then of course, well, we don't need to get into that.
We don't want to talk about that.
Let's talk about
until next week. Tune in to hear what we're going to tell them.
Oh, low.
It's a real it's a cliffhanger.
It's a real cliffhanger. We're going to beat of the week.
Let's do it.
Everybody's listening to the brand new segment. It's beat of the week.
Beat of the week.
You just feel that?
It's like a drug.
I think I felt something. It's drafty. Ghost in the foreground, painting in the resonant, mapping weird mysteries, subtle, less than evident. Future decryption, feature distraction, ghost prominent, like uninvited tenants, portent to pay some penance. Awards for unmade menace, and someday God will get us. For worship, golden dentist, there's diamonds in your fetish. Please pass the electric lettuce. Cabbage is sorted, look, let's get some sushi. We're shut down till sunset. Marketing superficial, models interstitial. This shit's so tight, it's stupid. I sold it on the weekend, knees deep in receipts. I keep deking card sheets, dropping heat on this beat of the week. I'm mad fire, nice on the mic till I retire. I don't run Gary's Closet, I'm just another resident. Joe Schmo at Safeway buying peanuts and Pepsodent. I keeps it mint, Electric John operates in a polarized tent. Check for lint, you'll go blind, like an eye test on a landmine. GC got time to shine, time also as well.
Really got my grammar good.
Also make spell, S-P-E-L-L. Ghost at the gates, hunchback Billy on the bell. April prairie wind is comforting, no trace of snow left. A sunset horizon that was born to steal your breath. Imagine when millions of buffalo rumbled atop this landscape, prairie dogs were pummeled, thunderbirds loomed, ghosts of the prairies lurked out the tomb. Ain't no moment like the one we got. Every day someone stabbed and shot. Just chillin' the paranoia, maybe walk back the pot. You ain't so hot. Seven Oaks is our history, fur trade and betrayal. Ghosts of the prairies, blood on the trail. Dead by trial without trail. Failed, found him by the gravel pit covered in shale. Bound up in a straw bale. This bullshit's getting stale. This bullshit's getting stale. Sunset like a dream, crispy, chill, dewy dawn. Jason Eastwood, Electric John, Ghost of the Prairies, Prince of the Prawns, Shrimp Farm Doc Crypto, Gary's Closet MB. Drop the seance for the science. Hand the mic back to me. Hand the mic back to me.
Everybody's listening to the brand new segment. It's Beat of the Week.
Cause it keeps on playing back in my bed a million
like it's gonna fall off. So dry outside in the wintertime. Dye my hair, not going anywhere. Do my face like it's late on a Friday night. My skin feels like it's gonna fall off. So dry outside in the wintertime. Face like it's late on a Friday night. In my childhood neighborhood, scare the kids like a ghost in a horror film. I am a paper cut that won't heal. Can't help but feel like I'm always overwhelmed. Take a walk in my childhood neighborhood, scare the kids like a ghost in a horror film. I am a paper cut that won't heal. Help but feel like I'm always overwhelmed.
Before that, we heard Omar Apollo with Useless.
Right here on shrimpfarm.crypto.
Speaking of useless, John, we were talking about microphone technique earlier. And
what do you mean Mel Tillis thing? What is that all about?
Mel Tillis was a classic country artist who used to stutter.
I know who Mel Tillis is.
Sometimes you do the mum.
Tonight I met a woman in them tight-fitting jeans.
Yeah, but he only stuttered when he talked. He didn't stutter when he sang.
Yes, that's right. He's quite a stand-up comedian. He used to do jokes in between the songs, and he would sometimes stutter.
Yeah, that was part of his show. Yeah. It was great. He was one of those Branson, Missouri kind of country artists. Like him and Mickey Gilley, those guys.
Mac Davis.
They were the king of the steamboat, casino boat country.
Mac Davis. Yeah, some good stuff. It's an interesting time when we came up and when there was no internet and there was just simply like 12 channels on television. There was magazines, there was movies, and there was, of course, there was music and records. But a lot of these, the glamour of that time was there's a lot of country and was crossing over into the mainstream. And there was a part of television in Hollywood. So it was very glamorous back then in the late 70s, early 80s.
And we knew a lot about it because you'd fall asleep late at night. I was talking to somebody on the weekend about this. They're probably 20 years old. And I said, yeah, sometimes I stay up until 5 in the morning. I was watching TV and stuff. I said, well, I used to try to do that, but the TV would go off at midnight. And then you just have infomercials playing. Here are country, Ray Stevens, the best hits of Ray Stevens, Streak. And
just a minute. Before, when we were kids, there was no infomercials. When the TV would go off, it would just be that.
Yes, but I'm talking about in the 90s, the TV would go off, but they'd still run infomercials late at night. It usually was like, it was about to sell old rock and roll. or Ray Stevens
albums.
Well,
it's funny, in the early 90s, I was working with a guy who was from Chicago. He was a plumber from who lived in a town called Kenora. And he'd come down to Lake of the Woods and do the plumbing. He'd show up at 2 o'clock, and he'd work till like 1 in the morning. Jeff kept crazy hours. But he said that when he was younger, he used to wish TV was on all night.
Well, so he
liked
to
stay up late. And he was so excited because now TV was on all night. This was in the early 90s.
That was exactly me. I was so excited because I hated that when it went off because I was a late night person. And what do you do late night? Because I'd watch those infomercials.
It would be, well, I don't want to say exactly, but it would be that Native American head dressed and it would be like, doo.
Yeah, and then they'd sing the anthem.
They'd sing the Star Spangled Banner normally because we were watching those American cable channels.
And then luckily, if you stayed up till 5, Canada AM would come back on. And it's like, oh, great, I can quell the thoughts in my head with nonsense TV that's going to get me nowhere again.
You're talking about Canada AM. I'm going way before that. I'm going back to when we were younger.
Yeah, but Canada AM would start at 5 a.m. That was before
in the 70s?
In the 80s. In the 80s.
Well, enough about that.
I don't think... 70s, we were up that late.
Enough about that. I do remember this. Before I had seen the film Star Wars, I think it was Good Morning America, one of those shows. It was before we were going to school. I was downstairs watching the TV, right? And Star Wars was a big hit, but I hadn't seen it. And the Star Wars cast was on this Good Morning America. They were promoting Star Wars. And they showed a scene. And I actually thought that Han Solo was Luke Skywalker because I'd heard of these people, but I'd never seen the film. So
I actually had the Star Wars figures before I saw the movie. I had a Luke Skywalker and I had the Jawa. And then I went to see the film and I got them all after.
You had R2-D2, I believe, as well.
Oh, of course. I had C-3PO. I had the whole gambit after I saw it, which I was 1977. I think I was six.
I don't think I actually technically saw it till 78.
You know what? I might have saw it in 78. I think it was my seventh birthday in 78. I remember my mom took me.
Yeah, I went to Corey Winter's seventh birthday in 78.
And then I tried to use the Force for a couple of years.
But I remember all that winter going to the West Caledonian Community Center and buying the Star Wars cards. So I knew what the Stormtroopers looked like and everything, but I hadn't seen the film. It's very exciting. Anyway, let's get on to the now, the here and now, Jason. We're on CKW 95.9 FM.
We have a Boomer Berry.
Saturday night. Right now is Boomer Berry?
Let's get to it.
Boomer Berry.
As a teenager, I would go to the Red River X with maybe $20, $25 in my pocket, and that was a lot at the time. And I always remember having to go through the admission gate, and on the way to where the rides were, I would get stopped every so often by the Claw. And the Claw would take my money. You know what the Claw was? It was an arcade game. You had to pass through the games of chance and where the arcade games were. And the Claw was this little metal crane that would go over top of prizes, and it would have maybe three or four metal fingers that would come up over the prize, and it would close up and it would pick up the prize for you. Well, you know, the gripping power of this Claw was so severely handicapped. It was more handicapped than a 100-year-old person that had severe arthritis in their hands, and you were telling them to pick up a heavy cannonball with one hand. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. And yet, I got sucked into it so many times. Fast forward to today, we went with the grandchildren to the arcade, and they still have Claw games there. And I still got excited as an adult with this game, and the kids got excited, and we knew that it didn't have the gripping power because they could see that just as plainly as I could when I was in my teens, and yet we kept playing it. We kept spending money on it, and I realize now, you know, this is a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy to groom us as children to become gamblers as adults. Maybe not hardcore gamblers at slot machines and casinos, but to maybe buy lotto tickets. And every so often, even though we've never won the $25, $50 million prize, you keep buying it because every so often you win $2 or $3 or maybe as much as $10, and you think you're on a winning streak and you keep buying. And I realized that it's the Claw vending machine that made me the lotto ticket buyer that I am as an adult.
No, he's got the Claw on him. He's got the Claw on Stud's forehead. Blackwell comes in. The Baron nails him. Mad Dog Vachon wise in getting a replacement. In the Baron Von Raschka. He's got the Claw.
so afraid of the claw?
He didn't even mention Baron von Raschke's claw.
Well, but it's interesting. The Libertines had a song at the top of the show called The Baron's Claw.
Would Baron von Raschke be a boomer, or would he be part of the greatest generation?
I think he'd be greatest generation.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. The boomers were scared.
He looked awfully old, even by the 70s.
He did. Even in the 80s, he looked like he was just dragging himself in there. I mean, that was a move he could play, you could use forever.
Yeah, well, it's also Fritz von Erich. We know he just had the movie The Iron Claw, right? Fritz had the That's Iron right. Claw.
He's probably who Raschke ripped it off from, right?
I don't know who had the claw first. I mean, Fritz von Erich was in the WWF in the 1950s, so...
Wasn't there a tiny lobster... Tiny Lobster Simmons? It was late 19th century. He was a wrestler that used the claw. They called him the lobster instead.
I'm not buying that for a nickel. Anyway, the Baron's Claw must be a theme. The claw must be a theme because Boomer Berry, he talks about the claw at the circus. The Baron von Raschke had the claw on Big John Studd. And, of course, the Libertines, the Baron's Claw.
I'm going to Red Lobster right now.
You had a dance move called Ducraw, as I remember, in the late 80s. So.
Oh, yeah, the claw, yeah. I'd do it with this. I'd do it with the leg. I'd get the leg going with the
claw.
But
you called it Ducraw.
Yes. Well, it's my own take on it. It's more of a French, it's like a
Jason
colonial thing.
Jason Ducraw. We better tell everybody where they're at here on the dial.
We are at 95.9
FM.
CKUW.
That's right.
Our show is called Shrimp Farm dot crypto. We bring it to you once a week, and then it's repeated during that week as well.
Yes. Saturdays at midnight, and then Wednesdays at midnight. You're hearing it. We, of course, produce this show live on tape from Gary's Closet.
Yeah. If you can't hear it there, you can also go to the U of W CKUW website, and I think you can stream it.
You can stream it, but you don't. Well, good luck.
Good luck with the streaming. I think we get 0.001 cent every time you listen to it, so.
And to everybody listening from overseas.
We'd like to say to everybody over in Slovenia, and especially to our friends in the Falkland Islands.
Thank you.
Thank you. We know the shortwave is difficult to set up, but we know it is worth it to hear our voices.
Galtieri took the Union Jack.
Yes. Anyway, next week, for all you fans of the Falkland Islands, we're going to be doing a little expose on Margaret Thatcher next week.
That's right. The Iron Lady.
It's about as geopolitical as we're going to get, isn't it?
That's right. The Iron Lady. In fact, we could do a double feature of the Iron Claw and the Iron Lady.
One of my favorite Iron Lady albums was Power Slave. That came out when I was... quite young.
Jason, you never cease to amaze me. You know, we got a segment coming up real soon, though. It's a segment about segments.
It is. It is. Is it wedding season, John?
Are you kidding me with this right now?
No, I'm not.
It's only April.
Oh, right. Sorry. I just get so excited.
Well, once a bridesmaid, never a bride.
It's wedding season.
1, 2, 3, 4.
On the third day, the sister cried. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
This is brought to you by flowers this week, John. This is wedding season. This year we have a sponsor. It's nature.
Nature is delicious, isn't it?
We have some AI flowers that we can't air on the show, unfortunately.
Artificial intelligence, that's what that refers to.
I'm going to tell you people out there, if you see us on the street, ask us about our special AI flowers and how the machine learning knows exactly the colors that are going to complement what you're going to wear the next day to the bridal shower, which is obviously before the wedding. This is bridal shower season, John.
If you see me on the street, look the other way.
John he's busy. When it comes to bridal shower season, John is planning. He's making gift lists. He doesn't have time to talk. But later in the year, would you be okay if somebody walks up to you and has a few questions about wedding season?
What I'm doing is I'm cutting pastries and I'm cutting deli sandwiches into flower arrangements so you can eat them.
Is it all worth it when you get to see the dress for the first time?
Well, it's supposed to be all about the dress.
When they walk down that aisle and you're like, man, I've been working on pastries for 3 days, but you look up and you catch a glimpse of that bride, does it make it all worth it?
Yeah, sure. That's, you know, it's not, you know, I mean, if you see it after so many weddings, you know, they all the brides start to look the same.
Yeah. So grab yourself a Caesar and tell them to put it on the shrimp farm, boys. Anyway, that was wedding season. We'll see you next month.
Next time on wedding season.
1, 2, 3, 4.
On the third day, the sister cried.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Always a bridesmaid.
We'll be right back.
From Ganja White Light. I don't know what you're talking about. Dope music.
Christian rock. I love it.
It's good stuff. There's not... regardless, Jason, welcome back to the Critical. We had a great episode.
We had a fantastic episode. There was a great... Gary's Closet was on fire. I mean, I don't know how to put it in words, John. I'm just so excited about what we just did. I'm sure everyone who listened is in tears.
Can like I just say to the people out there listening, you're welcome.
Yeah. I'm going to say my mascara is running, but you can't see it on the air.
No. Little mascara. But
literally, I'm tears of joy for the show we just did.
Rest in peace to Joe Flaherty.
Yes, Joe Flaherty, SCTV, of course, filmed and created in Edmonton, Alberta.
Next week, we won't see you. You'll hear us
on Shrimp Farm.
Dot crypto.
I don't know about you, Sammy, but when I get paid with the green stuff. I don't get paid with the white stuff.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. When the Congress of the United States of America phoned me, Sammy, and asked me to testify, I felt it was my obligation, not only as an American citizen, but as a comic in this town. And I did, and I brought some outtakes from that hearing, Sammy, by the way, because we had some laughs in there.
All right.
If you want to rack that up,
okay.
I don't know what's on there. I haven't seen it. I don't know what the hell's on that thing.
Okay, then I'll just set it up. These are outtakes from the congressional investigation hearings on drug abuse in Hollywood with star witness Bobby Bidman. Let's take a look at these things.